From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Each day in the U.S., more than 86,000 older adults fall. That's about 1 per second, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Falls are the leading cause of fatal and non-fatal injuries for the elderly. We talk with Dr. Kelly Westlake and Dr. Mark Rogers, researchers at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, who are working to help seniors react faster and stay safer if they take a tumble through innovative balance training.
We believe that in order to better understand balance recovery processes, that we have to expose people to fall conditions in a controlled way, but in a safe way.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Each day in the U.S., more than 86,000 older adults fall. That's about 1 per second, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Falls are the leading cause of fatal and non-fatal injuries for the elderly. Joining us today are two researchers at the University of Maryland School of Medicine who are working to help seniors react faster and stay safer if they have a tumble through innovative balance training. For more than 25 years, Dr. Mark Rogers has focused his research on the processes that control human balance and movement and how these processes fail during aging and in disease. He's also a professor and chair of the Department of Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation Science at the University of Maryland. Welcome, Dr. Rogers.
Thank you, Sheila. It's great to be here.
And also joining us is Assistant Professor Dr. Kelly Westlake, whose research focuses on stroke rehabilitation and protective arm response when an older adult falls. Welcome, Dr. Westlake.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So let's start. Tell me what is happening cognitively and physically that makes older adults prone to falls.
So cognitively, as we age, there's many changes that occur, and some of the things that we know about are sensory loss that occurs with age, and we do have
sensory loss, meaning I don't feel things with my fingertips as much,
or sensory information related to touch and the sense of where we're positioned in space, called proprioception. So that information tends to be slowed or declined with age. There's also the vestibular system in the inner ears, as well as the visual system. So all of those three systems combined are on a decline, as we get older. But cognitively, I think sometimes the changes are a little more subtle.
What subtle changes are you talking about?
So the subtle changes may be things like people may have difficulty with switching attention from one thing to the other. And that's one thing that I'm studying in the work that I'm doing. We're walking, we have ongoing thoughts, but then suddenly a trip may occur or a slip, and somebody has to respond quickly. So that means they have to shut down those ongoing thoughts and then switch to fall-related cues, either in the environment or internally related to that sensation that I just mentioned.
And somebody age 30 is better at doing that than somebody age 70.
Exactly, yeah. And in particular, people who have had falls are even worse at doing that. And that's something that we've been exploring in the lab.
Dr. Rogers, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I would add also the changes that occur in muscles, bones, and joints that similarly impact balance and one's mobility, additional to these neurologic changes and cognitive changes that Dr. Westlake has mentioned. So muscles begin to waste away. We lose fibers. Muscles begin to infiltrate with fat, which is a very interesting new development that has been gaining a lot of attention in how it impacts balance and function. So this is beyond your traditional notions of muscle strength declining with age. This is now muscle function, the ability to perform the different roles that contractile muscle must perform in order for us to balance and move normally. And this becomes interfered with by fat accumulation, for example, or a loss of muscle density or the amount of muscle per volume of muscle tissue.
So the muscle would still be strong but not effective?
It is reducing its force generating capacity or its strength. But importantly, other functions like the contractile speed are changing. So if you contract muscles forcefully and contract them rapidly, you're generating what is referred to as muscle power.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the product or the combination of rapid contractile force generation or rate of force generation. And we're finding that loss of power is really a better associated factor with loss of mobility and loss of balance function as we age than traditional strength measures.
I can't project the strength fast enough to grab onto something.
Exactly right.
Exactly right. Let me pick up on something that you mentioned a minute ago, Dr. Westlake, and that was the fear of falling can make falls more likely. How so?
Yeah, so I guess there's different ways than that can affect a fall. So the first one is that once a fall happens, some people generate this fear of falling, like you mentioned. And over time, that will make people less likely to engage socially. They may become more sedentary just because they don't want to place themselves in situations that may perhaps involve a fall risk. And so that will lead to all the changes that Dr. Rogers just mentioned. It may reduce muscle power as well as some reduced strength. And then the other...
And essentially because people are not out there getting exercise.
Right, yeah.
But not because the fear itself is sapping their fitness, or is it?
Well, the fear is what leads them to a more sedentary lifestyle.
Okay.
So they just don't want to go out and kind of engage in social interactions that may put them at risk of falling. The other problem that we're also investigating is that the fear itself will slow the response of when somebody's thrown off balance. And that's through either an arm response or a leg response, through stepping or grasping an object. So that's something that we're investigating now to see how that fear factor will influence those responses.
That's Dr. Kelly Westlake here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. She and Dr. Mark Rogers are researchers at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, and we're talking about innovative balance training that can help keep seniors from falling. Dr. Rogers, describe what happens in your research lab.
So we believe that in order to better understand balance recovery processes, that we have to expose people to fall conditions in a controlled way, but in a safe way. So safety harness, available supports around the individual. But we believe that you need to experience a fall state in order to resolve the problem.
A fall state.
A fall state, right. So that your body's center of gravity or center of mass is beyond your support mechanics, and you have to change those mechanics in order to recover that stability again. And we do this through a robotic interface. We pull on a waist belt with a robot that we control through a cable and belt attachment. We can do it in any direction that we select. We can do it at different distances and speeds and intensities. So
I want to make sure I'm following.
Yeah.
When you talk about robotic, it's not that you're measuring the robot. The robot is acting upon your human research subjects.
Right.
And they're walking along a treadmill?
In this case, in our lab, we study disturbing your balance from a standing position, usually. We have done walking studies as well. We have a motorized treadmill that is sort of beefed up to be able to give you very abrupt accelerations of the treadmill belt or decelerations. And that simulates a slip or a trip, depending on which phase of the walking cycle you're in.
And what are you measuring?
So we measure whole body, we call them kinematics, or movement position and movement velocity and movement acceleration through three-dimensional motion analysis or motion capture, such as what you see during the Olympic events when they show you the diver performing and they show you this biomechanical kinematic model that from which we can compute motion characteristics.
And so you're yeah. really capturing or measuring the beginning of the fall, right? Because the harness keeps the person from collapsing on the floor.
Yes, it does. The harness is engaged once you fall into it. Otherwise, it's free for you to move. But if you begin to load onto the harness, that's when, much like a mountain climbing harness, in fact, we do use mountain climbing harness-like structures to develop this safety system, then it will, basically give you support. So it is the evolution of the fall from before your balance is disturbed, which has an influence on how you react, through the initiation of the fall and through any responses you make to execute, as well as post-execution.
Dr. Weisler, yeah. your research mm-hmm. focuses on arm response mm-hmm. during a fall. What happens in your lab?
So I'm looking at the initial response as well. The way I do it is we have the treadmill that induces kind of a quick slip or trip if they're walking forward, or if they're standing sideways, it will move them quickly right or left. And one of the studies that I just completed was looking at grasping response. So how does that change through age? So I had older adults who have had a fall and older adults who have not had a fall, and compared those groups to younger adults. And it turns out the younger adults were much more effective at their grasping response when they were thrown off balance than particularly the older adults who had a fall.
Effective because they did it reach more quickly, or that they were stronger when they reached? Or?
Yeah. So what I was looking at was the timing. So how quickly did they get their arms out, and was it an effective response? Were they able to grasp accurately? And many more times the older adults who fall actually missed the rail completely, so which would have ended in a fall, but we had the harness that supported them. And the other thing that we're looking at is the added cognitive challenges to see if we can get them thinking about something else and then have to force them to switch their attention quickly.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, both of you, because while I realize the interruption that isn't signaled in advance, people know they're there to fall. I mean, sure. How realistic is this?
While falls in the laboratory are not exactly the falls that we experience in everyday life, because of the elements of surprise and the unpredictability of the environment which we stand and balance and move through, we try to simulate those things in the laboratory. So the fundamental biomechanical requirements of recovering balance, whether in the laboratory or in the park or at the concert hall, should an event occur, are fundamentally the same from what you have to do to solve the balance problem. So we learn about how people solve the balance problem by studying the mechanisms or those factors that stabilize balance, both through the nervous system, the muscular system, and the musculoskeletal hardware that the body has to move around. So the principles are the same. We try to simulate them under different conditions, like distractions that you might experience in the everyday environment. There's a car passing by or someone calls out and, it changes your attention. And those are the sort of simulations we can make in the lab that do pretty well with predicting actual falls in the everyday world.
This is really interesting. Yeah. We need to take a quick break here, but there's lots more to talk about with University of Maryland School of Medicine researchers Dr. Kelly Westlake and Dr. Mark Rogers. We're talking about the prevalence of falls among older adults and how to prevent falls through innovative balance training. After a quick break, I'll ask what steps you can take to protect yourself from falls. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR, become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the tendency of older adults to fall and research at the University of Maryland that looks at targeted balance training to prevent falls. Dr. Kelly Westlake and Dr. Mark Rogers of the University of Maryland School of Medicine are here. Give me the headline version of what you've learned so far in your research.
I think that we're understanding a little bit more about what the arms are doing. So we're starting to realize how important those movements are. And not just through grasping, but also through counteracting the body's momentum in a forward or sideways direction. So those are areas that still have yet to be, you know, completely explored, but we're getting there, as well as understanding that the cognitive influence and how, you know, that quick attention shifting is actually needed to respond very quickly to any balance perturbations or disruptions.
My headline is directional vulnerability to lateral instability.
What on earth does that mean?
It means that as we age, despite our risk of falling in virtually any direction around the body, we're most vulnerable to falls in the sideways direction. So we've been spending a lot of effort in trying to understand why that might be. That's the crux of the work over time that we've been able to help expose along with others in the field. And so that's shifting some new attention to how to intervene and improve balance function and prevent falls by focusing on this sideways problem or lateral problem.
That's the logical next question.
Sure.
Is if you know people are more likely to fall sideways than backward or forward, how does that help prevent falls?
Sure. So we've recently completed a clinical trial funded by the National Institutes on Aging to look at retraining the protective stepping reflex. And we focused on this lateral or sideways direction. So we expose people to progressively more difficult and challenging controlled falls over a 3-month period, 3 times per week. And we compared them against traditional muscle strengthening of the hips, which are key muscle elements that are important for stabilizing your balance laterally. And we had very positive results in our step training groups, and these associated with a lower rate of falls for a 1-year period following the testing. And so that's one way we've tried to translate those fundamental observations in the lab into a rehabilitation intervention to minimize falls and improve balance.
Are the systems of training you're talking about, are they ready to be shared with people, to be implemented?
I think a lot of the important questions are still being worked out in terms of dosages, for example. How long do we train? You know, how many days, how many repetitions, you know, over what period of time? How do we sort of progress systematically the challenges to balance? That needs to be worked out before we can really begin to prescribe effective balance programs that will be borne out by the data.
I think people listening to this conversation, they know that a lot of the methods that they've heard being prescribed to protect from falls have to do with strength training, like using free weights or machines at a gym, and that's different from what you're talking about. So in that context, I would love to hear what kinds of things you think people should be starting to think about, even though your plan is not yet available.
I think that the evidence suggests that you have to perform a fairly high intensity of balance-specific exercise. So just doing aerobic training or strength training is not specific to the problem of maintaining balance. Even though they involve components of balance, they're not training balance in the context of the balance recovery problem. And it's a limitation. And that's why, even though the perception publicly is that weakness of muscles is an important contributor to falls, it actually is only so important when it's really reduced significantly. Such as in very frail older people. And your average person who has some age-related muscle weakness is not necessarily falling because of that weakness, even though it may contribute as a risk factor. That's why I mentioned power earlier, because power seems to be a much more discriminating factor for improving falls power, and predicting
how,
falls.
How quickly
how
you can,
quickly you do
can,
it.
You can
yeah,
project
and
force.
So I can say any rapid movements that you can make, getting in and out of a chair rapidly, for example, where your balance is safe, going up and down inclined surfaces, you know, put a little zip into your movement, kick up the power valves, you know, get that contraction speed up. And over time, if you do it regularly, it's not going to hurt you. And I would predict that, you know, you may start to notice some differences in the way you feel you move or in the ease with which you may start to move.
Dr. Weiss, like, when do you recommend people start paying attention to balance training?
I mean, I would say the age-related declines start at the age of 30. So I would say, you know, there's no harm in starting as early as in your 30s. Clearly, if you recognize that there's a problem and that you feel unsteady with balance, I think going to a physical therapist and going through a complete assessment is really what's needed at that point.
But so it's kind of, it's never too early.
Never too early, no. Nope.
Have your findings led you to ask other questions about fall prevention?
Dr. Westlake mentioned earlier about the fear and anxiety that people experience after they've had a fall and how it begins to change the way we move or engage socially even. From that observation, we've begun to ask, well, we realize that fear of falling is a risk factor. If you're fearful, you're more likely to fall. But why? What is it doing? We believe that actually it may be contributing to an abnormal startle reaction or an abnormal startle reaction that is evoked when you're suddenly knocked off balance. You have a very primitive reflex, so-called, the startle reflex, which we've all experienced. Somebody surprises you out of the blue and you see your arms fly up and your head cinch in deflection. You pull back and you crouch even, and you actually may freeze momentarily. And so we've begun to find that when we test older people in a startling situation that disturbs their balance, that older people are much stiffer in their reactions than younger adults. And this leads to an increase in the size of the impact force when their feet hit the ground during a movement where we drop them through a platform so they have to land on the floor and stabilize their balance. Of course, this is in a controlled way, so we protect their body from injury through monitoring the impact forces. But nevertheless, their forces are much greater than the impact forces of younger adults, and we've traced it to the fact that they're turning on all the muscles around the joints at the same time. So they're doing something called stiffening their movements. And it's not good to be in a stiffened state or in a rigid state when you receive these impact forces, because they tend to not be absorbed by the muscles and soft tissues, which normally take some of that energy out of the impact.
Are you still looking for volunteers for your research?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
And particularly people who have such a fear of falling. I think people who come into our studies are being thrown off balance very unexpectedly. And that's much more like a real world situation than if they're asked to stand on one leg or walk in a straight line, which are other ways that you can assess balance. But I think these are, so anybody who can come in who has had a fall or a fear of falling or is concerned about falling, we would love to have.
Well, I would love to keep in touch with you as this research continues. It's very interesting. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks.
Dr. Kelly Westlake and Dr. Mark Rogers are researchers at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, discussing their work on how and why older adults fall and how innovative balance training can prevent falls. If you'd like to be part of their research, call the recruitment line at 410-605-7179. We have that number and a link to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Again, the number is 410-605-7179. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.